For 30 years, your voice, your morning. John McKenzie's morning. Only on 4CA 846.
Well, this is quite a treat. This is a gentleman we hear so much from per telephone. Of course, our phones at the moment aren't helping very much. But his name's Peter Trout, and he's from way up, well, up in the northwest, actually, up on the Cape. But he's come to town. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Tell us what you're doing here. It must be bizarre. I mean, you're surrounded by cows and horses most of the time. It must be strange to come to town and actually be able to see two vehicles at once.
Yeah, it's pretty pleasant, John. I just like to make comment that after coming out of the dust of Cape York and coming into Cairns, it's like arriving in paradise. I couldn't but take notice of how clean the town is and how lovely it is. No wonder the tourists are coming in here, and it's a credit to the mayor and his team that this has got to be one of the really, really special places to visit.
Gee, that's a treat to hear, because we've been watching this work come together in the CBD, in the what used to be the City Place. Now, of course, we've endured a fair bit of inconvenience, particularly shopkeepers in town, for the last couple of years. But now it's hard for us to remember just how inferior that area used to be compared with what we're enjoying now. It's magnificent, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it really is. And just a little bit of trivia. The other day I had to escort and chaperone a group of Chinese people. Mm-hmm. And I arrived up at the Mariba Sale, and I'm like the Pied Piper wandering around with these 11 Chinese. Only one of them could speak English.
Yeah.
And one lady from a cattle station there, she couldn't contain herself any longer. She had to ask. She came over and quite politely tapped me on the shoulder and said, "What is going on?" I said, "Oh no, we're trying to feed China." Yeah. as a joke. But after the sale, we went and had coffee up at Skybury, and I'm thinking, out of the mouths of babes, is this Chinaman sitting there looking out through the window?
Yeah.
And he says, "This truly is the lucky country." And I thought, well, you know, a lot of us take it for granted, but here's somebody from the other side of the world,
yeah,
and thinks this is fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. It's important to remember that, and also important to remember that we've really got to look after it. We really have to stand up for the principles that have made this country so great, and that's what a whole lot of people are concerned about. I think it's starting to emerge, actually, in our election campaigns, and of course in results of our elections too. Now, Peter, I want to take you to something, of course, that you're an expert in, and that's of course the cattle trade, but specifically now let's talk about live cattle exports, or cattle exports generally. Impact from Brexit. I know I've asked you before, but briefly, are there any signs emerging that there could be an impact either way on cattle exports?
No, John, not at the moment, because, you know, the supply of cattle is down. I don't think that's our major concern. Our major concern is our own people hopping on the bandwagon about animal welfare issues. And I'd just like to tell listeners about what is happening in the industry, because they just see these grab headlines from fellas like Darren Inch that's just recently been elected to the Senate, and just a shock jock. And his knowledge of the cattle industry would be negligible. The closest he would have ever got to a steer would have been at the Sydney Royal Show.
Yeah.
But they get the headlines, and it can be so detrimental. But on our side, I want people to understand that we take animal welfare very, very seriously. And you've got companies that are investing a lot of money, which we need to keep our economy going. Consolidated Pastoral Company, which a lot of people, it won't resonate with, but they know Kerry Packer. Kerry Packer used to own it, and now this Terra Firma, it's a wealth fund generating its capital from Great Britain, and they are saying, well, for a start, they've got about $780 million invested in our industry. And they're saying within 3 years, 60% of their turnoff will be going to Indonesia live.
Mm.
They have put the capital up. They've taken a big slice of feedlots in Indonesia. Mm. And this unwarranted talk about animal welfare is detrimental to this sort of investment that we need. Mm. And when you look at what Consolidated is doing and many other companies are doing, they are employing themselves. This is not government, and it's not Australian government. They are employing 30 animal welfare officers and that are constantly at their abattoirs in Indonesia. They're on the floor. They've got traced back. They know exactly where their animals are from Australia. So when Four Corners and the animal welfare lobbyists go to some remote part of the world and find some aspect of cruelty, I want listeners to understand just how much we're doing as an industry to stay on top of animal welfare issues.
Let me just, while we're on the beef trade, just talk about for a moment where we're going with this. You've already said numbers are down. Now, clearly, how long does it take? We've had a destocking, if you like, in recent years because of the appalling returns, because of the drought, etc. When can it get back on its feet again, the beef industry?
Well, as far as numbers are concerned, you're looking at about a three-year cycle before our breeding herd, you know, gets back to its previous numbers. The first thing you notice, John, in a rebuild in any country, whether it's the United States or Australia, is that the female kill drops off substantially. And then you know, particularly as prices rise, you don't need to sell as many cattle to keep your income and keep your property running. So you make the effort to keep back another 50 replacement heifers or something like that. And that's how the herd build-up occurs.
But it's 3 years.
Yes. It'll be 3 years before we get, you know, back to substantial, substantially where we were before the drought.
Now, are we already 1 year into that situation or is it 3 years from now?
3 years from now. We've just had the rain in Western Queensland.
Okay.
And, hell of a battle. And that takes some time. But the other thing, John, I think I've mentioned it to listeners before, is that the opposition, there's various groups opposed, not only the animal welfare lobbyists, against live cattle. You've got the trade unions worried about employment in abattoirs. But the thing is with Indonesia, they've got a huge population and very few people have got refrigeration. This is a poor nation. Like, I mean, even someone on the dole in Sydney would have access to a refrigerator. So it's hard for people to understand that you've got 300 million people, very few, have got refrigeration, but they need protein, and that's why they just buy their meat fresh each day, and so they're never ever going to be buying boxed beef. Not for a generation, I don't believe.
You're going to have the only cattle property up on the Cape in the near future by the looks of things. We've talked about the $7 million acquisition of a property there the other day. The state government set aside another $5 million for another acquisition. So long term, you would wonder about how viable properties like yours are going to be. You'll be so isolated.
Yeah, well, it concerns me greatly because maybe I'm just getting old and cynical, but what I've always been concerned about is the thin edge of the wedge. You start with this Vegetation Act, if they could get it through, and if they can persuade Billy Gordon to run with this, because that's all they need is his vote to bring it into legislation. So you get less and less viability in the Cape. And then the next thing you know, the Wild Rivers legislation and locking up the Cape and getting World Heritage listed. People need to wake up to these campaigns, John, because everyone you talk about is concerned about foreign ownership, and we shouldn't be. If they've got the capital to come in and develop, I think that we've got to welcome it. Just like I'm talking about Consolidated, what they're doing, but the concern about foreign ownership. It also resonates with World Heritage listing. Do we want somebody in Brussels to be deciding what's best for us in the Cape with regard to Indigenous communities and lack of opportunity? I don't think so. So before people start getting on the bandwagon and get all warm and fuzzy with this type of movement, think twice about where your children are going to get jobs. And there isn't anyone that isn't concerned about where their kids or their grandkids are going to get jobs in the future.
Sure.
And it's similar here from what I see in Cairns with tourism, that nobody pays any attention to the pioneers with lack of great adventures and various other activities that bring people here into Cairns. Mm. Everybody's taking the benefit of it, mm. but all they want to talk about is the negativity of the reef,
yeah.
what damage it might do to the reef, and no one wants to see it damaged. But getting back to what you said about Springvale Station, I've had the opportunity to talk with people that know a lot more about erosion and sediments and so forth. Mm. And being a cattleman, the first question I wanted to ask him was, well, is cow manure a big issue with regard to this sediment that goes out? Mm. And he said, not at all. He said, there are soils on Springvale, and not only on Springvale, so you can't say that you could cure the problem just by buying Springvale. There are other properties that's got this type of melting soil, and I've seen it on cattle stations that I've owned, where you build a dam in the bank over a period of time, just melts. It just melts like it was made of butter. Mm. And when you think about it, John, that would have been occurring for a million years. Mm. And if it hasn't destroyed the reef, it's a naturally occurring thing. I can't understand why 7 million of taxpayers' money has gone into buying Springvale Station.
All right. Peter, I'm going to have to move on, sorry, because I'm running right down on time, but great to have you in town. Thanks for dropping in.
My pleasure, John.
He's the cattle grazier Peter Trout, who you usually hear per telephone. Now, we're going back to talk after this.